welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show on Reason and Theology. Doing an update here to Candace Owens' recent conversion to the Catholic Church. As I did a show yesterday, I went over the fact that around 2 o'clock yesterday, she posted that she was received into the Catholic Church. And so we celebrated that with her, and we continue to celebrate that with her. I'm very happy to hear that news, very excited for her, glad to have her in the fullness of the faith and the fullness that we have here in the Catholic Church. So really excited about that. There is an update to this situation. Now, yesterday I briefly spoke about how we need to be in prayer for her, because what often happens is with new converts, Satan comes for them and he attacks them. And I think that every one of us who has converted to the Catholic Church can testify to that. He's not happy when a person embraces the fullness of the faith, especially when they are a public figure. He's not happy, and he is going to do everything he can to deceive them and to derail them from the path that they have begun. And so we prayed for her yesterday. We're going to continue to pray for her today. But along these lines of Satan attacking people, there is an update here, and it seems that Satan, of course, has wasted no time in targeting Candace Owens, and we need to be aware of this so that we can be in prayer for her, because it is certainly something that is troubling. Let me show you what I'm referring to. So I just saw that Candace has agreed to speak at the Catholic Identity Conference. If you're not familiar with this conference, I am going to give you a few examples of some of the topics that they've covered before. You can see her here. She'll be speaking with Schneider, Strickland, and a few others. And so, again, if you're not familiar with this conference, well, there are some things that you need to be aware of. And I want you to, for just a second, picture this with me, okay? So we have a lot of people who follow Candace Owens. You know, she's a very public figure. She has a lot of topics that she covers. And so she has a pretty large following. Now, she just became Catholic. And there are going to be a lot of people who aren't really familiar with the Catholic Church who are going to start looking more into Catholicism and continue to follow her work. Now, I want you to imagine this scenario. So she's going to be speaking at the Catholic Identity Conference. Imagine there are people who are going to watch this conference or attend this conference because Candace is going to be speaking there. And again, they might not have a whole lot of foundation here about the Catholic Church. They might not really know a whole lot about the Catholic Identity Conference or some of the controversies that are taking place in the Catholic Church. And perhaps they go and attend this conference or watch the conference. And imagine with me for a moment what their impression might be and what their reaction might be when they are exposed to topics like this. Okay, so this is from one of the 2022 topics at the Catholic Identity Conference. All hands on deck, Pope Francis's war on God and history. So, okay, again, imagine a person comes, they listen to Candace, and they're hearing stuff like, you know, Pope Francis is at war with God and history. Or what about this one? They sit down and they hear, you know, figures like Archbishop Vigano, who is a set of a contest, as I'll show here in a moment. He doesn't believe that Pope Francis is Pope. And they hear stuff like this, how the revolution of Vatican II serves the New World Order. I imagine that's going to make them a little confused. You know, Vatican II was our most recent ecumenical council, and evidently, Vatican II was a revolution that serves the New World Order. I don't suspect they're going to have a very good impression of Vatican II when a person's the New World Order and how the Vatican is compromising in favor of the globalist ideology. That's also concerning because, again, I don't think that you know, people are going to have a whole lot of foundation to really engage these things. And so they're going to hear stuff like, you know, New World Order, and Vatican is part of the New World Order and is part of this globalist ideology. This is some of the stuff that the followers of Candace are going to be exposed to when they listen to her speech at this conference. I don't know what she's going to talk about. I'm not saying that they're going to hear that from her. I have no idea what she's going to talk about. I'm saying that this is the kind of stuff they're going to get from the crowd of the conference that she's speaking at. Chai Politic, how the Vatican's deal with the devil impacts the post-COVID world. I mean, can you imagine being new to Christianity and not really knowing a whole lot about Catholicism and then hearing that, you know, the Vatican and Pope Francis is making deals with the devil? That's going to confuse some people. Look at this one, Bishop Schneider. It's an abomination. Well, what's an abomination? Well, take a look at this. In this Catholic Identity Conference last year, 2023, Michael Matt interviewed Bishop Schneider, who spoke about several pointed questions about the Church of Abandonment. Why the Vatican is lying to the LGBTQ community. So the Vatican's lying to people? How Team Francis doesn't give a hang about scandalizing kids. I mean, that's concerning. You know, if Pope Francis and his team are trying to scandalize kids and really don't care about scandalizing kids, I certainly would be concerned. Why the Vatican is partnering with globalist goofballs such as Klaus Schwab? And why would anyone stay in a church that has been so thoroughly infiltrated by the enemies of God? Gosh, okay. Well, take a look at this one. They'll also be exposed to stuff like this. Pope Francis's missionary genocide. So Pope Francis is, you know, trying to commit genocide against missions in the church. I can imagine that's going to cause some confusion. Vatican Disappearing Act. Is the Pope pro-life? Oh boy. You know, again, for a person who doesn't know better, they're going to be hearing stuff like this, putting into question that Pope Francis is pro-life. And here's another one. If you want to find the true religion, find the only one attacked by Pope Francis. Well, gosh, I guess, you know, one shouldn't be part of the Catholic Church that's in communion with Pope Francis when we hear stuff like this. Take a look at this one. The Synodal Way. Is Francis Church officially going gay? Again, this is stuff that people are going to be exposed to at this conference. What about this one? Archbishop Vigano, again, who has spoken at the conference before. You can see all the past speakers right here. And one of them, of course, is Vigano, as you can see. Well, Vigano says things like, I stand with Cardinal Mueller and with Bishop Strickland. Well, what do you mean? On the one hand, we see abuses of power against good bishops and clerics multiplying. On the other hand, we see the scandalous protection of heretics, the corrupt and perverts. So this is what people are going to be told, that, you know, Pope Francis is promoting the corrupt and perverts, but is persecuting the faithful. And he says, the See of Peter is infested, so that would be, of course, the papacy, is infested by an intolerant and ruthless tyrant. The bishops must raise their voices before Bergoglio, that's Pope Francis, destroys even what little remains standing of the Catholic edifice. So they're going to hear stuff like the Catholic Church and its edifice is being destroyed by this evil Francis. He says, I fully associate with myself with Cardinal Mueller's statements. Cardinal Mueller has, of course, accused the Vatican of teaching numerous heresies. I urge my brother bishops to express their full support to him. And so this is what people are going to be exposed to. Now look at this one. The priestly impasse when obedience becomes a sin. So they're going to start to be indoctrinated with views about how, you know, obedience has its limits. And those who are in the church today or are in leadership, you know, it could become sinful if you obey them. Now, obviously, there's a grain of truth to that if they're asking you to do something that violates God's commands. But of course, Pope Francis isn't asking anybody to do that. So this is the kind of stuff that they're going to hear. Now, I want to also play this clip for you from Vigano. This was his video that he submitted to last year's Catholic Identity Conference. It was not shown at the conference, not because it was theologically disagreeable to to the conference, but rather just because it was too off topic and somewhat controversial when the intention of last year's conference was to kind of unite people. And this would just be a little too controversial. Again, not because the view itself is something that the conference organizers say they're not willing to entertain and is just too problematic. No, it's more because, hey, it's too far off topic. And so keep that in mind. Here's the kind of stuff, however, that this crowd is going to be exposed to. Let me play this for you. Again, this is Archbishop Vigano. And check out some of his comments here.
I believe instead that his acceptance of the papacy is invalidated.
Okay, what he just said is, I believe that his acceptance, that is Pope Francis's acceptance of the papacy, is invalidated. I'm going to continue to play the clip here, but you heard that correct. He doesn't believe that there is a pope, so he is a set of a contest. And so he believes that Pope Francis has tried to hijack the church and hijack the papacy, but his election to the papacy was invalidated. So for those of y'all who say, yeah, you know, Vigano isn't a set of a contest, he just admitted to it, although he said that many times, just admitted to it right here in this video. But continue to listen to kind of the perspective about the church and about Pope Francis that you're going to hear from the crowd surrounding the Catholic Identity Conference. Again, the crowd that are going to influence people who are new to Catholicism, who are looking into Catholicism because of Candace Owens' conversion and now association with this conference. Check it out.
Because he considers the papacy something other than what it is. Like a spouse who gets married in church but excludes from his intention the specific purposes of marriage, thus making the marriage null and void, precisely due to his lack of consent. Not only that, what conspirator who acts maliciously in order to ascend to an office would be so naive as to explain to those who must elect him that he intends to become pope in order to carry out the orders of the enemies of God and the church?
Listen to this. So he's saying that Pope Francis tried to destroy the church by carrying out the orders of the enemies of the church. It continues.
Good morning. I'm Jorge Mario Bergoglio. I intend to destroy the church by getting elected pope.
You hear this? So he's saying, you know, Pope Francis isn't just going to come out and tell the cardinals, hey, good morning. You know, I want to destroy the church. And so elect me as pope. He's not going to come out and say that, Vigano says. So in other words, again, according to Vigano, Pope Francis isn't the pope, and he is trying to destroy the church. Again, this is the stuff that people are going to be exposed to by this crowd.
Will you vote for me? The mens rea lies precisely in the use of deception, dissimulation, lies, the delegitimization of anointing opponents, and the elimination of a dangerous one. And the proof that Bergoglio intended to carry out the criminal plan of the globalist elite is right before our eyes. All desired goals of the emails of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's right-hand man.
So they're hearing stuff like Pope Francis is trying to carry out the globalist agenda and Hillary Clinton and all kinds of stuff. You're welcome to go and watch the whole thing. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. There's also a transcript of it available online in case it's too difficult for you to follow what he's saying. But again, this is the kind of stuff that people are going to be exposed to due to this association with the conference, as Candace is going to be speaking at the conference. Now, look at what the Bishop of Pittsburgh has said. This is a Latin Rite Bishop of Pittsburgh. Has said, because this is where the conference is held, and so, or at least has been held in the past. And so he has spoken about this conference because it has taken place in his territory. So look what the Catholic Bishop of Pittsburgh says. Catholic Identity Conference is not endorsed by Catholic Bishop. He does not endorse it. Now, remember, Catholicism 101, you're going to find this with the earliest sources, like Ignatius of Antioch, writing in the second century, knew the Apostle John himself, St. Ignatius of Antioch, church father, martyr, saint. He says, do nothing without the bishop. Do nothing without the consent of the bishop. The bishop doesn't approve of this conference, and in fact, he tells Catholics not to go to the conference. Look what he says. The Diocese of Pittsburgh says it does not encourage Catholics to attend a Pittsburgh conference Saturday, which is slated to urge Catholics to formal resistance of Pope Francis. The October 1st Catholic Identity Conference at Pittsburgh Hotel will feature remarks from two Catholic bishops, including former Apostolic Nuncio Vigano, and its schedule included Mass at a Pittsburgh parish. So the Diocese of Pittsburgh is in no way affiliated with this event. The diocese does not support, endorse, or encourage people to attend this event. Diocesan spokesperson Jennifer and Kowiak told the Pillar. And so, again, the local bishop says, hey, look, no, I don't support this. Don't attend it. So it's not something that has been endorsed by the Catholic Church. But this is what people are going to be exposed to who may not know these things. And they're going to be excited, you know, for Candace Owens and her conversion to Catholicism. And they will come and attend this conference where she's speaking at, and then encounter this kind of stuff. Take a look also at this. It was posted in 2022 by the conference. Catholic conference to issue formal declaration of resistance to Pope Francis. Again, this is the kind of approach that the conference takes. October 1st, a press conference will take place at the Catholic Identity Conference. There, three prominent spokesmen will present articles of resistance against the Vatican and the pontificate of Pope Francis. Resistance to Pope Francis's recent violation of natural justice. Resistance based on Francis's undermining of the church's established moral theology on contraception and divorce. And resistance based on the Vatican's endorsement of the World Economic Forum agenda. So this is what followers of Candace Owens and Candace Owens herself will be exposed to when she speaks at this conference and when they go to check out the conference. It's truly, truly heartbreaking to see this. I can speak from personal experience here because I've been down this path. I've been down the same path that Candace is experiencing right now. When I'm a convert to the Catholic Church, and I was misled by this same group. I have interviewed many of the people at this conference. I was once part of this group, but I saw where it led me to. And so I've done a lot of content responding to it and showing why I've left that movement and why I've embraced the teaching authority of the Catholic Church and I'm not in resistance to the magisterium. And so I've covered that in depth, but I could totally understand somebody who is new to the faith like Candace. I could totally understand how it would be so easy to fall in with this crowd. And so my prayer is for her that she would see where this stuff leads and avoid it. And my other concern is, of course, she has a very, very large following. So this isn't something that just impacts her personally. It is also something that impacts a lot of followers. She has several million people who follow her. And I'm afraid that this material, because of her association with this, will help legitimize and make this kind of stuff mainstream. And I really, really hope that isn't the case, but it looks like that's the direction things are going. You know, one of the things I've really appreciated about Candace Owens is her desire to call out fake news, to call out propaganda in the media, and some of her investigative work. In fact, she's done some of that in relation to Black Lives Matter. I'm hoping that she will take that same talent and ability and start to look into this movement that she's identifying with. unknowingly, I'd imagine. But look into that, and then you'll start to see, wow, the same tactics that Black Lives Matter and all of them use, this group actually uses themselves. The same kind of propaganda, same kind of fake news. I'm hoping that she will be able to see that and help expose it for what it is. But that may not be immediately. It's not an overnight thing. This may take time, and I'm afraid of the people who will perhaps suffer the consequences of being misguided due to this crowd. And so my prayer is for her and for her victory over Satan, who appears to be attempting to mislead her. My prayer is also for all the people who are speaking at this conference, who organize the conference, who attend this conference. I think that they all really believe they're doing the right thing. They really believe that. And you know what? I admire courage for people who will speak up against what they think to be corruption. The problem is they have been deceived and misled and are actually fighting against Christ's church. Again, I assume unknowingly. So my prayer is for, again, all of the people who organize this, who speak at the conference, who attend it. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ opens up their eyes and they see this stuff for what it is. And they see that they have been fooled and blinded by Satan, and that they turn away and they speak out against it. So what we're going to do is pray for her and pray for the people who organize this conference and speak at the conference and attend the conference. We're going to pray in Our Father together in the decade of the Rosary. So let's go ahead and do that now. We're praying for Candace. We're praying for all the people involved in this, that again, the Lord Jesus Christ will protect them, will save them, and open up their eyes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I'm going to take a few comments and questions. Go ahead and put them in the comment section. Just make sure to tag me at Reason and Theology. I saw somebody asking earlier in the chat, why am I promoting hyperpapalism? I don't. I have views, videos against hyperpapalism. And also, it is a straw man to call me a hyperpapalist because, in fact, there is no such person who actually holds to hyperpapalism on planet Earth. So maybe go and watch that video and you'll see that it's a straw man. Now, again, put your question in the chat to at Reason and Theology, and I'll be happy to take a look at it. Okay, so Hyde says, I'm sorry, but Candace is a grifter. Look, I don't think that you can make that kind of judgment about her intentions. I don't know what her intentions are, and I give her the benefit of the doubt. And so I would avoid making those kinds of judgments. I think it's much more likely that she's well-intentioned, but perhaps in some areas hasn't had the opportunity to really look into them and check maybe some of these views. And so I would caution people from going down that approach and recommend that people limit themselves to praying for her discernment, for the discernment of everyone involved, for the speakers and their discernment, all of that. But yeah, let's avoid that. Well, I see some questions. They're not related, however, to this this topic, so let's stick to topic. DeBear says, I'm tired of the Candace hate. Yeah, we shouldn't hate anybody. You know, even if we disagree with a person's position, we shouldn't hate them. And I don't hate Vigano or Schneider or Strickland or any of the people here. I don't hate them. I, however, think it's incredibly important that we shed a light on the truth here. And point to the fact that a lot of these people have promoted material that is incredibly injurious to souls. It's simply not true. There's a lot of material that they have promoted that is just pure propaganda. And we need to pray for them and for their discernment. Father Brown says, RNT, her husband said we have different brands. Sometimes I find myself getting dragged into political whirlwinds, which honestly I believe to be distracting from my end goal, which is cultural renewal of the West. Christianity does not sit with any one political ideology. The church sits above them all. That's good to know. Yeah, hey, we need to pray for Candace and her husband. You know, I think that her husband's also a recent convert. I know what that's like. I converted in 2012, and it can be very difficult to navigate some of this stuff. So we need to pray for her. Mike Lewis seems to be leaning into hyperpapalism. I don't think that's accurate, Matthew. I'm quite certain that Mike Lewis rejects hyperpapalism. In fact, I don't think there's anyone on planet Earth that actually believes hyperpapalism. Hyperpapalism is the view that every single thing that the Pope ever says is infallible. I don't know any human being who actually believes that. And so I don't think that that's accurate. But again, I don't want to speak for him. He can speak for himself. Let's see. Well, yeah, let's talk about 1 Timothy 3:6. Okay, so I was actually going to bring this up. Okay, well, there is a problem whenever we as new converts jump into leadership positions. There is a certain danger that is here, and you can see this being discussed in sacred scripture in multiple places. One place is where it speaks about overseers or bishops and deacons, and so but the same rule applies to just any kind of Christian who is in some kind of leadership position, such as, you know, an influencer, a content creator. Here's what scripture says. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert. Now, listen to that. Now, again, in the context, this is in reference to bishops, priests, deacons. But the same principles apply for any kind of leader who is a Christian. Must not be a recent convert. Why? Or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace, into the devil's trap. Well, what trap is this? Well, among others, take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew 13. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, that's Satan, comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. This is why I say, as a new convert, Satan is going to target you. This is what he does. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall quickly away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so, again, we see that what happens is for potential converts or new converts, Satan and the things of this world begins to attack them. And again, everybody here who is a convert, who is watching this, can testify. It can get very intense as well. And so we have to pray for Candace, those who follow her, and everyone else. So Dreadnought says, glad you got your monetization back. Here's a tip. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. You guys are awesome, because not only did y'all really come through and support me when YouTube did that out of nowhere, but y'all were also able to put enough pressure on YouTube that they were forced to re-monetize me. That's pretty epic of y'all to do that. So I really appreciate that. Thank y'all so much for doing that. Let me see if there's anything else here in the chat. Candace is still a neophyte. Well, so a neophyte is a person who has converted to the Catholic Church and has been a Catholic for less than a year. And so, yes, as somebody who is a neophyte, you want to avoid being any kind of position of leadership. You need to just kind of take some time, study the faith. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with a person talking about why they converted to the Catholic Church, but I would just kind of leave it at that. I would avoid talking about other stuff, just because, yeah, especially these days, there's just so much opportunity to be misguided these days. Thank you, Matthew Schmidt, for the super chat. That conference is not even Catholic. Well, you know, the local bishop has said that, you know, Catholics are not to attend this, and he does not at all approve of it. So it is not a conference that has the approbation of the Catholic Church in any kind of way, either on the local level or universal level. And from what we've seen with all of those titles of speeches and talks at this conference, there's a lot to be concerned about. Again, I think that the organizers of the conference, the speakers, the people who attend, mean well, they're sincere, but we all know that people who are well-meaning and well-intentioned and sincere can be incredibly misled. In fact, some of the people who crucified our Lord Jesus Christ meet that description. That's why Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he's referring to the people who crucified him. So in other words, people who don't know better and are well-intentioned could end up doing something so horrible as to crucify the Son of God. Now, I'm not saying that any of these guys have crucified the Son of God. Obviously not. What I'm saying is well-intentioned people can be severely misled. And so we have to pray for them and their discernment, and especially all of the people who are going to start looking into the Catholic Church because of Candace Owens. And they're going to see her, you know, speaking at this conference, and they'll either attend the conference or watch it and start looking into this stuff. And then they're going to be exposed to all of the things that I mentioned earlier, all of that propaganda, all of that fake news. It's unfortunate. Michael, now that Candace is a convert, do you think she'll be under spiritual attacks from the Dark One? Yes, that's the purpose of this video. Lots of SSPX instead of a contest speaking. Definitely not sanctioned by the bishop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Are we willing to accept liberals with baggage the same way that we accept conservatives with baggage? I think that we should be willing to receive anyone into the Catholic Church. The good news of Jesus Christ and the grace available in the church is for everyone, regardless of their history, regardless of their perspective. It's for them. But the prayer is that when they come into the Catholic Church, that they do so with an open disposition of humility and docility to Christ's teaching authority on earth and learn from it. And so any misunderstandings that they have would be they would be able to work through because they are submitting to the magisterium. But if you're taking the position that the magisterium is teaching heresy and is trying to destroy your faith and is making deals with Satan, and I don't know how we're going to be able to work through our problems when the very one that Jesus Christ has given to us, the magisterium, the very leadership that he has given to us, we believe has somehow come under the thumb of Satan. So I do think that this kind of stuff really invalidates the whole purpose of becoming a Catholic, and that's why it's so dangerous. This kind of stuff ends up leading people outside of the Catholic Church and sending them to Eastern Orthodoxy or back to Protestantism or atheism or something else. It's very, very dangerous. Okay. Checking to see if I have anything in the chat. Michael, are there examples where laity can disagree with personal, political, philosophical views of Pope Francis, but still respect and honor him? Sure. And I've given a lot of examples of that right here on the channel. So stick around and check those out. But yeah, absolutely. There's a fundamental difference between the Pope's personal views and his actual teaching authority. There's a massive, massive difference between the two. Yeah, absolutely. Michael, I learned a lot from your videos. We'll pray a rosary for you today. Thank you, Francesco. I really do appreciate the prayers. Please do pray for me and also for Candace and for everybody who follows her and is going to look into the Catholic Church, for everybody at this conference, the speakers, the organizers, the people who attend. Have I read Candace's book, Blackout? I have not. I have not. I've only heard about it. I have not read it. A lot of my relatives are SSPX. How should we approach them? Well, I do have a lot of content about them, but certainly approach them sincerely with love, but also truth, right? Truth and charity. And I would focus heavily on ecclesiology. So the magisterium and ecclesiology. What I mean by that, again, check out all of the videos that I have specifically on the SSPX and you'll see what all I'm referring to. Okay. Please don't tell me she immediately became a set of contests. Not to my knowledge. I don't know about, I have not heard Candace Owens say that she's a set of a contest. I have not heard that. And I I suspect that's not the case. I doubt very seriously she's a Senate contest. Doubt it very seriously. And I have no reason to believe that. The concern, however, is going to be the association with this crowd. Okay. So why are these schismatic conferences permitted to take place by local ordinaries? Well, the local ordinary did not permit it. Here it is again. The local ordinary has forbidden Catholics to go there and has said this is not in communion with his diocese and therefore the Catholic Church. Now, the bishop can't stop them from meeting at a hotel. You know, that's, he doesn't have control over the hotel. And so, you know, there's only so much he can do, but good for him for speaking out against this and warning Catholics away of it. So those of y'all who are new to Catholicism and you're checking out Candace because of her recent conversion, I'm so happy to hear about your interest. That's awesome. But if you are under the impression that the Catholic Identity Conference is Catholic, please listen to what the local bishop says. The local bishop says, this isn't in communion. I forbid this. This is not at all something that he approves of. So just listen to that. I don't know if Candace is aware of that, by the way. Again, her level of knowledge on this situation, I have no idea. But I do know as a convert myself, it is very easy to be misled and to get in with the wrong crowd. And that's something that we really, really need to pray for her. Does Candace strike you as someone who likes attention? I can't make judgments on a person's character like that. I don't know. I can't. I have to give her the benefit of the doubt. I can't make judgments like that. And I won't do that about any of the people that are at that conference. And there's some people at that conference that I think are dead wrong on some issues. But I don't know. I can't read hearts that well. So, or if at all, right? So I can't make that kind of judgment. And I think that we should avoid doing that and do the best to give people the benefit of the doubt until it's impossible to do so. Okay. Yes, Josh points this good quote out. Follow the bishop as Jesus Christ follows the Father, St. Ignatius of Antioch. Yes, yes. Church Father knew the Apostle John. Listen to him. Listen to him. That doesn't mean that the bishop always makes the right decisions. And that doesn't mean if the bishop tells you to sin that you have to sin. No. But unless there is a divine command overriding what the bishop tells you, you follow your bishop. You follow him. And that's not blind obedience. That's Catholic obedience. That's traditional. That's real tradition. That's real Catholic identity. Deline, Michael, thank you. I'm learning so much from you and your channel. Please do more. God bless you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm encouraged to hear that. Did Candace recently have a baby? I think she did have a child number two, right? Yeah, I believe she did. Cause I think I saw her on Tucker not long ago and she was pregnant at that time. And I believe that was her second child. So yeah, I think so. Kinghood says, I used to be a radical traditionalist, then became too soft. Now I try to balance the two and find the insight. You know, what's so enticing about that group is there's a grain of truth to some of the things that they say. And it's very attractive because, hey, who doesn't want to follow tradition? We should, right? We should be traditional Catholics. The problem is we're being sold a bill of goods. We're being told that something is traditional when it's not. It's actually modernist in nature. But it comes with this dress and clothing of tradition. And so it's very enticing to people who don't know the difference. They don't know what authentic tradition actually is. And I totally understand people wanting to follow tradition in an age where society is trying to cast off all of our roots and all of the truth of Jesus Christ and Christianity. And so it's totally understandable why somebody would be drawn to a movement that claims to be traditional. The problem is it's not traditional. That's the problem. I say stand with Catholic tradition. Absolutely. Absolutely. But real tradition. not modernism and not dissent that covers itself in the guise of tradition, but is nothing but non-traditional and dissent in the end. And again, it's pretty tough to sometimes discern this stuff at first, because there's a lot of stuff involved here. That's why I have right here on the channel a ton of videos. Making Sense of the Crisis in the Catholic Church is the name of the playlist. And it is the fruit of my own journey going down false traditionalism, going down what I thought to be authentic tradition and fidelity to the Catholic faith, and then realizing I was sold a bill of goods, and then coming out of that. It can be a very complicated thing for a person to navigate. And so I've done a ton of, again, free videos. It's free material, not charging anybody for it. Go and watch it for free. It's the fruit of my own struggles through this kind of stuff. And I hate to see anybody else fall down go down this direction. Because again, there are a lot of people who are sincere. They want to do the right thing, and they are being misled by this kind of stuff. And I hate to see that for Candace or for anybody who follows her. Please pray for them. Is her husband Catholic? Yes. He is also a recent convert to the Catholic Church, from what I recall. I actually reviewed one of his debates with a Protestant not long ago. Okay. What else? Looking through the chat. Real obedience means to reject what bad bishops teach. Read the document, the Census Fidelium and the Life of the Church, in the Vatican website. That, by the way, that document isn't even magisterial. Actually, what you'll want to read that is magisterial is Donum Veritatis. Read that to balance out what you're going to read in that document, which, again, I accept that document that you're referring to. But I notice that people often reference it and don't balance it out with Donum Veritatis. So go and read that, which, again, the Dona Veritatis knows that the sense of the faithful is always in conjunction with the magisterium and never opposed to it. So if you want to know what real obedience is, you should actually go to the magisterium and Dona Veritatis, because that's really what that document is about. Do I attend a Novus Ordo? I go to a Novus Ordo pretty often, as well as Eastern Catholic liturgies, as I'm Eastern Catholic. But there are some really good local Novus Ordos that I often avail myself of, which is why, again, I point out that there are a lot of people who lie about me and say that, oh, Michael left for Eastern Catholicism because he hates the Novus Ordo or something like that. That's not true. That's not true at all. It's not why I became Eastern Catholic. It's not to run away from the Novus Ordo, and I definitely haven't run away from the Novus Ordo. And people will lie and say, Michael, you know, runs to the Eastern Catholic Church while not having to go to a Novus Ordo. You don't know anything about me, so stop lying and slandering me. You know, it's incredible to see how this crowd behaves whenever some criticism of their idols are brought up. And so, can we prevent Candace from going to the conference? Just do your best to bring this to her attention. She likely doesn't know. She likely doesn't know better. I mean, who would? Tell me what convert who converted literally yesterday would know better. Honest question. She converted yesterday. Now, I don't know if she accepted this position before she converted. Maybe she did. But tell me who would actually know better. There are very few people in the world. It's very easy to get misled here. So everything is slander to Lofton. No, not everything is slander. But when you falsely accuse a person with a lie that is intended to injure a person's good name, then yes, that is called slander. So enough with the gaslighting. We'll be in prayer for you, though. Looks like you've been confused. RNT, what was the reason behind going to an Eastern Rite? I'm also attending a Byzantine Rite. For me, it's not to get away from the Novus Ordo or the Latin Rite. I love the Latin Rite. It's not an issue of getting away from anything. It's that I'm drawn more to the Byzantine Rite than any other rite in the Catholic Church. So it's not to get away from something. You know, if you feel more drawn to one of the Eastern Catholic rites, by all means, you know, become one of those Eastern Catholics. I don't recommend, however, that you become an Eastern Catholic because you're trying to get away from the Latin Rite. Nope. Not a good reason. Not a good reason. Okay. I wish the Pope would mandate ad orientem, or at least encourage it. Hey, we're in agreement there. you can't go wrong with ad orientem, and it has apostolic it's an apostolic practice, and I don't think it's one that we should have given up so quickly in the Latin Rite, in my opinion. Okay. We must not obey false teachings and bad bishops. Of course, we don't have to obey false teachings. Now, as far as you say, we don't have to obey bad bishops, you're actually wrong. That's actually against Catholic tradition. You do have to follow bad bishops insofar as they exercise their authority over you with a command that is not against a divine command. So you're actually wrong about that. Now, if you're a bad bishop asks you to do something sinful, no, you don't have to do that. But most bad bishops aren't asking people to violate divine commands. So this is often used as an excuse to dissent in areas one should not dissent. And also, the magisterium has not been teaching false teachings, so I suspect that you have been misled here. So stick around. There's plenty of content that I have on the channel that will help you work through that. Okay, Claire says, just wanted to say thank you for helping me realize that. I think that was in reference to me. Catholicism is just another denomination. No, it's not. Catholicism is the true church established by Jesus Christ, the one true church, as Dignitatis Humanae puts it. The one true faith, the one true religion, I think is the term it uses. The fullness of the faith subsists in the Catholic Church, to use Lumen Gentium's term. It's not just a denomination. If you believe Catholicism is another denomination, that's fundamentally Protestant ecclesiology, which you might be Protestant, and okay, that fits right in with your Protestant view. But you can't be a Catholic and believe that Catholicism is just another denomination. That would be heretical. Michael, do you think that there are people who slander by accident? Absolutely. There are people who do so unknowingly by repeating falsehoods that are injurious to a person's reputation. And if you repeat that, you have slandered somebody, whether you realize it or not. And then the follow-up question is, due to how they receive news information about the Pope or the things they want to see and all he says and does. Yeah, a lot of people who unintentionally slander Pope Francis, and this group that unfortunately Candace is associating with is very much a group that does that. Okay. What conference is she going to? The Catholic Identity Conference. Again, the local bishop has told people not to go to this. It is not Catholic. And I read some of the titles of the talks that they've given in the past to give you an idea of what people are going to be exposed to there. Don't know what Candace is going to be talking about. So for all I know, she could be given a great talk about why she converted to Catholicism. So I have no idea. Don't know what her talk is about. Okay. The Tartar Sauce Community handpan. Yeah, if you're not familiar with the Tartar Sauce Community, check out some of my videos last week and you'll get the inside joke there. The Mayo community and Tartar Sauce community are being represented in the chat. Does Bishop Athanasius have too much on his hands? Good question. He seems to be everywhere, right? I don't understand how any bishop has that much time to be everywhere, but okay. Okay. Looking through, seeing what else there is. Checking the chat. Well, I think all of the things in the chat at this point are just comments rather than questions. Oh, here's one. I want to start defending my faith against Protestants. What should I start learning? Definitely read the Catechism of the Catholic Church cover to cover. But that should obviously be after you've read the Bible cover to cover. Start there. I think that'll be a really, really good beginning. Let's follow the Bible and the Catechism. Good rule of faith. Sacred Scripture, first and foremost. And then the Catechism is a really good way to summarize Catholic tradition. What church did Candace get baptized in? It seems they said that was the London Oratory. Will I come out with a video about CMRI? I think we've already done that just a few weeks ago. My video with Robert Sisco, we went over that. Did you see Russell Brand did a video on Satan George as Saint of the Day? I haven't seen that. Is it technically possible for the Catechism to be erroneous? Yes, technically, as it's not a magisterial document. However, the sources that it references within the Catechism tend to be magisterial. So whether or not those are in error is a different question. The Catechism is rather a compendium. That being said, I don't believe that the Catechism is erroneous. What was my confirmation saint? Saint Padre Pio. The one and only. Okay. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Do you have to get baptized by Catholic or does the old one still uphold? Yeah, that's a great question. So if you have been validly baptized, even by a non-Catholic, it could even be by an atheist, because it really doesn't depend on the personal faith of the person baptizing you. If you've been validly baptized, you don't have to be baptized again. And what is a valid baptism? The application of water, which can be done in multiple ways, but the application of water to you while somebody says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a valid baptism, regardless of the personal faith of the person doing it, regardless of their communion with the Catholic Church. Okay. Hector says, I'm curious if she is still to receive confirmation. That would be pretty odd. If they were as an adult to baptize her but not confirm her simultaneously. And again, I assume she was baptized. Some people were saying she was baptized. I don't know if that's accurate or if she was just merely confirmed because she had already been baptized. I don't know. I'm just going with what people have said. It would be very odd if they baptized her as an adult and did not confirm her immediately. That would be, yeah, I don't see that. I've gotten the sense that George Farmer Candace's husband leans to pseudo-traditionalism. Have you gotten that sense? I have not seen enough from him to make a judgment about him personally. Okay. Darlene, thank you, Michael, for this video. God bless you. And you too. Does the person baptizing have to say the name of the person getting baptized for it to be valid? No. Not for it to be valid. No. Now, laicity is a very different question, right? But not for validity. Okay. Pretty sure that one administering the baptism must also have been validly baptized. Incorrect. Incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. And it would actually be heretical to assert that. And the reason why is that would be that would fall into the heresy of Donatism. So no, that is incorrect. That's not the Catholic position. That is the position, however, of Eastern Orthodox, I believe. But Eastern Orthodox are currently struggling with the heresy of Donatism. Okay, let's see. So it is a matter of necessity that every church should agree with this church on account of its preeminent authority, Saint Irenaeus of Lyon. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Orthodox are going to push back on that quote because he likely wrote in Greek and we only have a Latin translation of what he wrote. So we don't have the original Greek. But yes, I do think that that's a important quote from Irenaeus. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I think that is everything in the chat for now. So again, let me remind y'all to pray for Candace, pray for the people at this conference, the organizers, the speakers, the people who attend in person or who watch online or, get a false impression that this is somehow Catholic. Please pray for them. Pray for discernment here. Because again, Candace has a lot of influence, and I would really hate to see this kind of dissenting material becoming mainstream and becoming normalized because of her influence unintentionally. So we again need to pray for her. All right, that's going to do it, y'all. See you soon. God bless.
Hey friends, I'm now teaching as an adjunct professor at Catholic Polytechnic University, and I am excited to announce that we will be offering the first ever Magisterial Studies Certificate Program. It consists of three courses: an Introduction to the Magisterium, Councils, Dogmas, Canons, and Decrees, and Evaluating Magisterial Teachings. If you want to further your education and learn more about Catholic teaching authority, this is the program for you. Check out CatholicPolytechnic.org and click on the Certificate tab at the top to sign up for the course today. Are you a Catholic thinking about converting to Eastern Orthodoxy? Or are you a Protestant discerning whether or not to become Catholic or Eastern Orthodox? If so, I have the book just for you. It's called Answering Orthodoxy and engages all of the arguments that Eastern Orthodox use against the Catholic Church. I respond to all of them. I show that they are in error and, in fact, they're inconsistent, because the things that Orthodox are objecting to are in fact found in their own tradition. So the fullness of the faith can only be found in the Catholic Church. Check out the book right now at shop.catholic.com for your copy today.
Hey friends, do you want others to discover why the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus established? And do you want to help people make sense of all the confusion in the Catholic Church today? Help contribute to this mission by supporting Reason and Theology at patreon.com/reasonandtheology. By doing so, you'll also get access to exclusive content for patrons only. Also, if you want to deepen your faith, there are free ebooks and even courses that you can sign up for by visiting reason.podia.com.